Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Yes, indeed. Radio.com is the place to check us out online, our digital platform. Now our political platform. We turn to Tom Scott, former state senator, present brilliant man. Hello there, Thomas.
How you doing today, Todd?
I am excited because we get to hear you provide sort of the exclamation point to everything we talk about all week. So what issues are exciting you most this week?
Well, that puts quite a heavy burden on me, but I will tell you or mention something that's timely. You know, the Secretary of State sent out unsolicited absentee ballot applications to every voter in Connecticut, and many in your listenership are probably already receiving them. I know a lot of folks already have. She doesn't have the authority to do it, but she's doing it anyway. And more to the point, the governor, by executive order, has usurped and undermined and shredded the state constitution by telling the people of Connecticut that we now have early voting, even though the state constitution expressly prohibits it. It's illegal. I don't care what our rogue Supreme Court did. The Connecticut Supreme Court unanimously violated their own oath to uphold the Constitution and sullied their black robes when they confirmed that the governor had the authority with the mere stroke of a pen to change the state constitution. Now, it is what it is. They're going to be doing early voting, Todd, and I'm very, very concerned about it. I'm concerned about logistics, the overwhelming burden that the 169 town clerks have in this state. I'm concerned about follow-ups. We even saw that in the August presidential primary when 100,000-plus absentee ballot applications went to non-voters, and 20,000 ballots were never mailed by the vendor. And I'm worried about harvesting. I mean, this is going to be a mess. Some of the problems that we'll see are going to be just logistical screw-ups and people not understanding the rules, but I'm very, very concerned about political skullduggery in some towns in this state.
Well, this whole thing is a signal to the skullduggerers to get moving, and it's their big opening. And it seems to me that political, well, I always see the Democrats doing to the country or the state or Republicans exactly the thing they say is being done to them or to the country or the state. That is, they're always yelling, for example, yelling and screaming about Donald Trump and how he is deliberately trying to cause disarray and confusion in the marketplace. Well, the idea of switching to a paper ballot system without the approval of the people and in the middle of an election season and in the middle of a pandemic seems to me designed to create the kind of disarray and disorder that they claim all the time to be outraged over coming from Donald Trump.
Yeah, and what I would say to people who are concerned about this is, you know, it's very hard to understand the rules when our own Supreme Court violates their own oath and allows the governor to change the rules. And these scholarly men and women on the Supreme Court, they know their vote was wrong. They know their vote was a disgrace, in their heart of hearts, whether they want to admit it publicly or not. But the issue of harvesting, Todd, let me explain how this works to folks that may not know. People can handle absentee ballot applications with some limitations legally, but very few people are allowed to touch the actual ballot. Let's say, you know, two elderly folks, couple receive the ballot. The only people that can return that ballot are the voters themselves, a home health care worker, an immediate family member, a police officer, or an elections official. Anybody else who touches that ballot is actually committing a crime in the state of Connecticut. However,
is that a crime? Now, is that a crime only for ballots filled out, or can people handle them before they're filled out?
Both. Again, the statute is clear on this. Elections officials send them out, but to have them returned, the people I just mentioned a moment ago are the only ones who are authorized. But what the governor now has done by executive order is he has ordered the 169 towns to have drop boxes. These drop boxes are outside. They're on sidewalks. They're on municipal patios, wherever they are. Who in the world is going to be monitoring this stuff? Here's how harvesting works. And again, let's speak generically and from 30,000 feet. I don't want to mention any town names like Bridgeport, New Haven, for example. But the reality is, if you're a dishonest political operative, or if you're paid by one of these sleazy organizations that has a lot of money, and you're a Democrat operative, you can go to the door of a known Democrat, because it's public information they received the ballot, and say, I am here from the local Democratic Party to pick up your ballot. The voter may not know any better, especially voters who have never done this before, and that's most of them this time, Todd. They may hand that ballot over. Now, if it's a Democrat operative picking up a Democrat ballot, they're facilitating that vote being counted, because they're trying to get it in the bank so the person, you know, maybe doesn't want to send it in or forgets or whatever. But what I'm especially concerned about are dishonest criminals going to the doors of known Republican voters and saying, I am here from the local Republican Party to collect your ballot. And so people need to beware that if anybody comes to your door, try to get a photograph of them. Try to get a photograph of their license plate, because that person is a criminal. And if I may borrow a phrase, if you see something, say something. Don't let criminals steal votes in this upcoming election. Look, they've been stealing votes in Connecticut for years. It's especially pronounced in places like Bridgeport and New Haven. I am concerned that given that no one is monitoring this and that the governor is actually encouraging misbehavior, that people may feel emboldened to do it in a way they've never done it before.
We're talking to Tom Scott. We do this every week, and you can hear why. My understanding, though, is, Tom, that this thing that you've described is a common practice in the cities in Connecticut, and that it happens in a more casual way, that people walk around with blank ballots and give them to voters, and maybe even those blank ballots have been filled out, and they say, just sign this, and you're all set. I'll take care of it from here. Do you hear anything about that kind of skullduggery going on?
Well, and again, you know, the statute of limitations has long since passed, but I know of actual examples of this happening in the city of New Haven. There were precincts in New Haven for years where illegal voting was notorious, people getting $20 bills to put on an I Just Voted sticker. Now, that was a while ago, Todd, and they've cleaned up a lot of that. I'm more concerned in 2020 about how casual this whole process has become, and the wink and a nod we're getting from the governor and the Secretary of State. The Secretary of State, who is supposed to be the custodian of democracy in this state, I'm more concerned about the lax nature of enforcement. For example, if you handle that ballot in a way I described a moment ago, under existing law, the maximum penalty is a $5,000 fine and 5 years in jail. It's pretty serious stuff on paper. And there was a time that when people got caught voting in the name of another or illegally filing applications for absentee ballots or dead people voting for live people. There are plenty of examples in Connecticut where people have actually gone to jail. And in most of these cases, in places like Waterbury where it happened in my lifetime, in most of these cases, it had to do with absentee ballot voting. And that's when it was small ball. Now it's big ball, because every voter in Connecticut, plus tens of thousands who are not voters, are getting an application from the Secretary of State as we speak. Now, when you get it, it has a state seal on the upper left-hand corner of the outer envelope, and then it has your town clerk's address on it, so you think it's coming from your town clerk. It's not. It's coming from the Secretary of State and the vendors they hired. The postage paid return envelope inside the outer envelope goes directly to your town clerk, but it's not even coming from your town clerk. It's coming from some vendor somewhere.
So, Tom, this expansion, this illegal expansion, as you point out, from absentee ballots into early voting, which is expressly specifically not allowed under the state constitution in a rather unusual bit of language for being so explicit on something like this, that this is an obvious extension of what the Democrats do with all kinds of voting. They've always been working to do their get out the vote campaign, which is another way of saying rigging elections, that you go get people who don't want to vote and you convince them to vote. And the reason Democrats love any extension of voting, like why they argue for weekend voting or why they want longer days and more places to vote and why they want absentee ballots and why they want early voting, is to make this whole process of identifying every voter and then using every bit of power they have, organizational might, to make sure that those votes get out, that the longer you can make this period, the easier it is for them to rig elections, and that there are already states that are starting to have voting for an election which is just under 2 months away in terms of November 3rd. What's your take on this?
Well, listen, we don't have convenience voting in Connecticut. That's what early voting is often called. We still have absentee ballot voting, but they changed the rules, so it is now effectively early voting. And lots can happen, Todd, in the next multiple weeks, where Biden can fall on his face at one of his mini press conferences and prove once and for all that he's incapable of being the commander-in-chief and leader of the free world. And a lot of people who don't like Trump might say, oh, gee, I've already sent in my ballot. I wish I didn't vote for that guy. So voting is still a right, but it's also a privilege. And it's not too much to ask able-bodied citizens to show up in person and vote. Now, if you're sick, if you're concerned about getting COVID, there are legitimate reasons why you can use an absentee ballot in the state of Connecticut, as restrictive as our rules are. But look at the people that have been advocating this for years and years and years. It's all the usual suspects. It's all the people on the left who want more power or who want to keep power. They're the ones in Connecticut who have been advocating early voting, and they've never gotten it because it's enshrined in the Constitution of our state. So they didn't let this crisis go to waste. They used it, they manipulated the U.S., the Connecticut Supreme Court, and they had a willing, useful idiot in the governor's office who signed the paper that allowed this to happen.
Well, I like your wrap, Tom, as always. Thank you for providing some clarity on this. Anything else you want to say before you go?
No, that's enough. Thank you.
We'll talk to you again next week. Tom Scott, thank you, sir. Always fun to hear from you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.